2 Timothy 3 lists the characteristics of man in the last days, in perilous times. It highlights 19 characteristics. One of them is being unthankful. Various translations use other words to describe unthankful. Another really commonly used term is ungrateful. And according to Strong's Concordance, it can also suggest being ungracious. Related words like this are rude, impolite, uncivil, discourteous, bad-mannered, curt, uncouth, ill-behaved, insolent, impertinent, and offhand. What do all these words have in common? They're signs of disrespect. Since the character of man in the last days will be characterized by disrespect, lacking the ability to show proper honor, where would we go to learn about honor? Our church is fantastically blessed with so many children, more than any congregation that I'm aware of. They will learn how to honor from their parents, and they will see it right here in this congregation. Are we prepared to teach them about honor? And perhaps we could all use a refresher on how to honor others. Now, we're instructed in 1 Peter 2:17 to honor all men. About 2 years ago, I gave a message on honoring all men, and I included just one practical action that we could take to honor others. But one practical action seems insufficient for such an important topic. So we're going to spend some time on it today. I recently attended a training course and as a part of my professional development. And in that class, they talk about mindsets and skill sets. Mindsets are how we think about a topic, how we approach it. It's the perspective that we take on it. And skill sets are how we act. Today, let's learn about the mindsets and skill sets of honor. Regardless of your age, being skilled at giving honor will only pay you dividends. And this is especially true for the young, because you have more time for the interest to compound. We'll start with mindsets. First, honor is a gift that is given and received. If you would please turn to John 5. This is where Jesus is talking to the Jews, John 5 and verse 40. And he says, "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe who receive honor from one another?" So they're passing honor back and forth between themselves. "And do not seek the honor that comes from God only." Now, if you'll remember Daniel, and there was the king, and the king had this dream, and he couldn't remember what it was. He didn't know the interpretation, and he wanted to test his wise men, and so they needed to tell him the dream. And he promised them, anybody that could give the interpretation and the dream, that they would receive from him gifts, rewards, and great honor. Those are the things Nebuchadnezzar was willing to give in return for understanding the dream and also the dream itself. Honor is a gift. It is given and received. It is exchanged between people, and it's also exchanged between God and man. If you would please turn to Psalm 8. Now, this psalm is about Jesus Christ. It's explored more, I think, in Romans, but it also applies as a general commentary to men, all men. Psalm 8, and verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. A mindset we can hold is that all men are crowned with God-given glory and honor. Now, we know that we just can't discard the things that God has done. This is true for marriage, which God ordains and is also in a position of honor. And it's true for the honor and glory that he's given to all men. But now we have a question. What is the difference between glory and honor, since all men are given both? What's the difference between them? Well, I decided to study this. There are 16 different Greek and Hebrew words that are used to be translated into English, either or honor or glory, and there's chains of meaning between all of them. And I'll save you from having to read about 500 verses. I did not read 500. I stopped at about 100. Uses of the word both honor and glory. And if this was a sermon, I would take a shot at it, because, you know, I'd like to try to pack in 500 scriptures if I could. But I won't. I'll summarize as best as I can. I used Vine's Expository Dictionary for New Testament words, and I used the most common terms of the 16, and I did my best to summarize them in something that made sense. So, honor is primarily a value, a valuing, a price that is paid or received. Its secondary meaning can mean to esteem. Glory, on the other hand, could be summarized as public praise, honor, and fame. Now, these two words are definitely connected. Things that are valued and esteemed, we would naturally be subject to public praise. That would be normal. They're connected. What I find interesting is that in English translations, these 16 words are sometimes used as glory, and they're sometimes used as honor. And the translators make a judgment call as to which to use. Now, we don't think of giving glory to men, or at least I didn't. And technically speaking, whenever you're giving public praise to somebody or you're giving them some fame, maybe you've tweeted about them or you liked a Facebook post or something like that, technically you're giving them some glory, some public praise. Here's a couple of scriptural examples that are an exception to a rule that we'll get to in just a minute. So if you wouldn't mind turning to Luke 14, and we'll take a look at verse 7 of some atypical examples among the 100 that I read. This is the parable that Christ is giving. So he told a parable to those that were invited when he noted that they had chosen the best places to sit at. This is about where to sit when you get invited to a wedding. So verse 8, when you're invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you is invited by him. And he who invited you and will come to you and say, give place to this man. And then you will begin with, you will be shamed and have to take a lower place, right? So that would be embarrassing. You take a high place and then somebody of more honor comes and you're sent down to the cheap seats, as it were. Instead, verse 10, but when you're invited, go sit in the lowest place so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit with you at the table. So here's its usage. Typically, this is translated as honor, this word, but here they use glory. Here's another example. You won't need to turn there. Philippians 3 and 18. It talks about people who glory in their shame. Their glory, what they get praised about, what they're known for, their fame is actually shame. Again, another use of glory applied to people. John 12:41 through 43 is another example, and for time I will not ask you to turn there. But it talks about that people love the praise of men more than the praise of God. This is, again, a typical word for honor, here interpreted as praise or glory. Now, these scriptures are exceptions to the following general rule. And having looked at 100 different verses, here's my sense. When we speak of men, it is best to say honor. And when we speak of God and Jesus Christ, it is best to say glory in the English language. But they both mean to give praise of somebody and to show them esteem. That's the underlying point. Here's an example of the two used together that proves the point. Proverbs 25 and verse 2. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter." Exact same word. For God it says glory, for man it says honor. To summarize, honor recognizes the value in another person. It is also an act of praise, something that we can do. God created all men with recognizable value. We are crowned with honor. And this fact establishes the mindset for us that all men are given honor. What other mindsets should we hold as we learn about honor? Let's take a look at how God acts to get more understanding. One thing he does to show honor is he does not withhold good from those who deserve it. Here's an example of that in Psalm 84, if you would please turn there. Psalm 84, and this is David praising the opportunity to be in God's courts. Verse 10. "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." What a fantastic blessing for those who are walking uprightly, knowing that we will be honored with good things. God also shows honor, recognizable value, and glory, public praise, to the wise and the righteous. Proverbs 3:34 says, "Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools." Elsewhere in Proverbs, it speaks about the wise inheriting positions of honor. That's what happens. In this life, the wise will be in positions of honor. For example, you remember Belteshazzar, and he was whooping it up with God's holy things? Finger writes on the wall that he's under judgment. He promises whoever can read the writing on the wall that they would receive a gold chain around their neck, and they would be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, when you look at Proverbs, it talks a lot about a chain around your neck being a symbol of rulership and honor. And when you take a look at pictures of the ancient kings, they all have a nice big chunky necklace, right, around their neck. If you scroll up, if you went to Proverbs 3, you can scroll up. In verse 21 and 22, you'll see that wisdom and discretion, these two characteristics, are grace around the neck. And further up in verse 3, Proverbs 3, verse 3, mercy and truth should be bound around your neck, not like a noose, but like a chain of responsibility and authority, a representation of your office and your honor. Now, Romans 2, 6 and 7 say that God will render each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance do seek glory, honor, and immortality. It is something that we can receive from God. He gives honor and glory to the wise and the righteous. And I'm assuming they will be wearing chains in the future as a representation of their authority. What else does God do to show honor? Another mindset we could consider. God is gracious and kind to the unthankful. If you would please turn to Luke 6. Ethan, I took the front one. A little drink of water. Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. We are honored when we receive God's kindness and mercy, even when we're unworthy of it. Let's summarize then on the mindsets we should hold as we learn about honor. Honor is like a gift. It is given and received between people and between God and man. God gives us honor in different ways. We are created and given honor at our creation. He doesn't withhold good. He gives positions of honor to the wise and the righteous. And he's also kind to those who are undeserving. In honor, we recognize the value of others, and we take the opportunity to praise and esteem them when appropriate. Do we all share these mindsets? Is that clear? Yep. Okay. Let's move on to skill sets then. A skill set, and I did have to look this up just to make sure it was right, is a skill that has been developed through training and experience. Today, we'll just build knowledge. But going forward, you can build training and build experience to come afterwards. Since God crowns the honorable and gives them golden chains of authority, could we think about giving people honor in a similar fashion? In our mind's eye, picture actually the act of showing somebody honor as putting an imaginary crown on their head, or enrobing them in chains of responsibility, these golden thick chains, in our mind's eye. I find it interesting that we put paper crowns on the heads of children and other honored people when we throw a party. We do that in practice. Or consider the custom in Hawaii, for those that are going to Hawaii for the feast, what do? They put a chain of flowers around your neck as recognition that you're here, you've come into their place, as a sense of honor. What if we set a daily goal, maybe 5 people we would grace with an imaginary crown or a chain through how we treated them or how we acted? And actually picture that in your mind. What if we strove for 10 people? What if it was our continued practice to honor all men? Where should we start if we're going to show honor, give them honor as a gift that we give and they receive? Well, the first place, I would suggest, skill 1, and I've matched up the skills with the mindsets for symmetry, is recognizing the value that God has placed in positions of honor. Now, 7 types of people are explicitly mentioned for deserving honor. We'll go through them quickly. Parents, the elderly, civil rulers, church leaders, bosses, wives and husbands, and widows. Now, there are specific acts that are unique to each one, but I don't think there's any harm in applying them to other identified people. No one's going to get you in big trouble for standing up in front of somebody. So I've combined them into a single list of acts that you could take as an act of honor to give to somebody else. Stand in their presence. Don't speak evil of them. Give them assistance if no one else that should can. do as they ask and listen to them. Now, one I'd specifically like to address is that we are to stand in the presence of the elderly. And the reason is because God attaches his name to this act. He says, I am the Lord. So it's important that we know this one. If you would, please, you can look there. I'll read it properly. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. It says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear God. I am the Lord. Now look around our congregation. You will see this room awash with people that are gray-headed. I think this means we'll be doing a lot of standing in church. Now, not to be crazy or militant about it, but God has commanded that we do this using his own name. Today, after services, when you're approached or in the presence of an old person, you should stand and place a crown upon their head. You'll notice that it's hard to sit and put a crown on somebody's head. It's a little visual cue. So stand. Show them honor. Show them respect. I find it interesting that people are very comfortable standing and rising for musicians that have entertained them very well. So we could apply this to almost anybody. Your boss comes in, and you could stand and greet them formally, or a civil ruler, or even your spouse. Nothing wrong with that. To say, I see you, and I recognize your value, and I demonstrate that by standing. Imagine the improved relationships we would have with others, especially those who are called out for honor, the seven types of people, if we just did what they asked. I'm sure my wife wishes I just did what she asked. This is a way we could show honor. To put an imaginary necklace around their neck. And just do what they've asked. In early Israel, God commanded the people to follow the judgments of those that were responsible to make judgments in ambiguous or contentious matters. You had to do it. Our society has clearly lost any understanding of that. But in the church, we should be known as people who do what we've been asked, that follow the judgments that have been made. And in so doing, we can give a chain of honor to people in those positions who are responsible to lead and to make those judgments. So skill set one, recognize the value of those people God has placed in positions of responsibility. Number two, immediately give honor when it's due. Now, this should show up in all different ways. You could pay your bills or your debts when they're due. This is especially true for the poor. We're instructed if we're aware that somebody is poor, we shouldn't keep their money overnight because they need that money as quickly as possible. And you'd show them honor by doing that. We could praise people for a job well done. We could go to that person's superior and praise them for a job well done. You know, you're at a restaurant and somebody does an excellent job in their service and kind and courteous. You can ask for their manager and give that person praise and honor for the good work that they've done. Perhaps you could give a gift or a card or a note as a recognition, something that they can see as honor. Or perhaps praise them in front of other people. If you want to, you can turn to Proverbs 25:11. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Does anybody know what that means? I never studied it until this, and I just was like, weird ancient thing. So now I did. I looked at Kyle and Delish because I thought they had the best point of view, and here's how they would summarize it. That the apples of gold in settings of silver would be best portrayed as beautiful oranges served on a silver platter. Now, a word fitly spoken, I've often thought it was like, yeah, you said the right thing at the right time, kind of the mechanics of it. It means that it is done quickly. I have a little joke, a humorous comeback. There's a man, and he says to a lady, haven't I seen you someplace before? And she says, yes, that's why I don't go there anymore. Now, some people work to be really good at a comeback, you know, a snappy little statement that they can say to embarrass somebody or put them down or, you know, give them a little jest or a punch. We should be quick to have fitting praise. That's what a word fitly spoken is. Bam, right then, right there. Like a beautifully presented orange, succulent, juicy, deep with flavor, deep with color. Served on a bright silver platter, fit for a future king. That is a word fitly spoken. That is honor. Another skill that we could get good practice in, be really good at, is to praise and emulate the wise and the righteous. You can ask them for guidance. Proverbs 25:12 says, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. This is a beautiful thing. Somebody who is willing to listen and follow the instructions of a wise person, that's beautiful. Now, in our congregation, we have people that act righteously. We can go to them and get guidance and show them honor. Say, hey, you do this really well. I would like to learn how to do whatever it is. And doesn't that show them honor? You know, doesn't that grace them with a beautiful chain about the value that they possess and hold? Or perhaps you need wisdom to work through the difficulties and the challenges and also the joys of life. You could ask them for their advice. And in so doing, put a crown on their head. Skill number four, the last one. Be kind to the undeserving. Now, we could shut our mouths. It's a quick and easy way. We could avoid unnecessary conflict. We could forgive debts of others quickly. Never mind. No, that's okay. Show them honor. Romans 14, which we'll eventually get to in our Bible studies, I'm sure. Romans 14:4 says, who are you to judge another man's servant? I think this is really interesting. I'm not sure I fully understand this, why I'm looking forward to getting to Romans 14. Hurry up, Dad. But think about that. That's somebody else that God has given a position of honor, and we're sitting there judging them, even if they've done something really bad. Day to day, we work to emulate the character and the actions of God. That's what we're all striving to do. He crowned all men with honor. He gives the upright good things. He gives praise and honor to the righteous and to the wise, giving them crowns and responsibilities in its fullest context in the future. And at the very least, he gives kindness to the undeserving. With that list, we have many, many opportunities to show honor to all men. Tangible things that we could do every single day, multiple times a day, to almost anybody. It's one way that we can put into practice loving our neighbors as ourselves. And also, I think most of us want to be acknowledged when we've done something deserving of praise or esteem. And also, when we need some kindness when we've been undeserving. And so being very good at that ourselves is important. some date, sometime today or this week, grace another person with a nice chunky necklace of honor by giving them real praise. Do good to somebody who needs it.